Now the Holy Letters of the Rebbe, Volume 4. This is letter number 1018. Baruch Hashem, the 22nd day of Iyar, Tavshin Yud Aleph, Brooklyn. Shalom Ubracha, peace and blessing. And the person, the Rebbe is responding to him, saying to the Rebbe that he is thinking about traveling to United States so that he can study in the yeshiva next to the Rebbe, Tavchit Mimim, to be amongst Hasidim. That's his writing to the Rebbe, he was planning on doing that. So the Rebbe says, according to my view, you shouldn't be too hasty to do this. It will be proper to continue in your work, whether it's in the kindergarten or some other work. Oh, actually, sorry, I said the Gan. Gan we call a kindergarten. But in this kind, it means actually a garden, not a kindergarten. In this way, it means a Gan, because I see, or some other physical work the Rebbe is suggesting to him. And in his free time that you have, set time for study Torah to learn by yourself, and to also put in an effort into spreading the Torah in your environment. For we don't really know what is greater, what's a more considered to be a higher job or occupation. Whether sometimes the job itself, we're not sure what's a greater one, or especially we don't know for the individual what's more greater for you, because everybody has their specialty. What's the best for them? Is it better for you to be in an environment of Hasidim and to absorb within yourself, so for your own betterment, so to absorb a part of the environment of the great people, or maybe to fulfill the shlichus, the mission, to spread out the wellsprings of the Hasidus outside? Even though it appears that through this, a part of the knowledge of Torah is going to be lacking, or in the conduct in the way of Hasidus and Hasidim. And certainly the Rebbe says this doubt is increased even more, not certainly, but this doubt is increased even more based on what is explained in the Geras HaKodesh Siman Tes, that in our generations the main thing is in the side of charity. So whether it's more important for you to grow in the area of Torah or to be more in the environment to be able to better yourself or to be out there helping others, is not sure. So the Rebbe says, I'm not self-understood, that God forbid, two times, don't give up from traveling here. But for the meantime, it's good and proper that you should take a part in the development of the yeshiva in your place in a fitting way, based on your potentials and your strength. And may Hashem strengthen your health as it should be by working in the garden and similar until you'll be fully healthy. Maybe this person had other issues also. Maybe could be had maybe mental issues. I'm not sure exactly what he was coming, because the Rebbe keeps on referring back to his health and should be there, but maybe he's talking about physically. But it seems like maybe it's some other issues over there. The Rebbe also attaches the Sicha from the 13th of Shvat, so that you can see what was spoken during the Fabrengen. As far as each one needs to make themselves better and perfect themselves, and this depends on each one's standing and situation. And we cannot always learn from one on the other. So sometimes what's good for one is not good for the other. And it's these are the things, is, you know, when people have questions, they'd ask the Rebbe, and supposedly the Rebbe's, for sure, the Rebbe's vision, he can see much further than any human being can see. So the Rebbe would give you the advice. So when you could ask the Rebbe directly, you would get a very strong answer, you get the right answer, because the Rebbe knew. But when the Rebbe is not there to ask, sometimes you got to start figuring out. Because even if you read in a letter, like the Rebbe says, what's good for one person isn't necessarily good for the other person. So if the Rebbe will say to one person like a certain thing, maybe it's good for him, but it doesn't mean that it's good forever. I'm going to share with you an interesting thing. Actually, it was in the summer months, which was, and also similar to what the Rebbe advised this individual case. And the Rebbe knew this person, and the Rebbe advised him to stay, sit back for now. That's benefit for him. And the Rebbe also rationalized it for him. But this was at a time, the our schedule, the way it worked by us when we were in the yeshiva, was that in the summer months, unlike today, where all the students go out to camps to be counselors and do activities with children, it also, you know, there's an increase of so many more institutions. They need more manpower. So the students over there, both the boys, the girls, they go out to various different places to help out and become, you know, staff members to help the other people run the camps. But in my days, it wasn't so prevalent. It was some. But most of the students from the yeshiva, we would continue to study in the summer as well. But the only difference was that in the winter, we were in the city. In the summer, we'd move up to the Catskills, to the somewhere in the New York State mountains over there. The whole yeshiva would basically move from Brooklyn and it move up over there. It was a very good experience for us. It was a little change here, you know. Maybe we had an extra hour for swimming or something, so we did have a little break. But mostly it was learning. And it was unheard of. It was unheard of that somebody should not go through that schedule. Everybody went. This was the order. I mean, maybe sometimes some exception, but I had gotten, it was just like a fluky thing, in the bungalow colony, which used to get bungalow colony, people that lived in the city a whole year, they would get a little bungalow there for the... You did. Used to get a, so we used to get a bungalow colony. Used to be there, spend the summer over there, up in the, it was very nice. So we got up to the bungalow colony, but it was a whole group of people. So they always needed a teacher to teach the kids. You know, while a few hours, make a little camp with them, a little teaching, and you know, they always had like a couple being there. They would hire a person. They would collect money from all the parents and they would pay the teacher. So the person in charge over there came over to me and said to me, would you want to be, he says, not sure why they wanted a single student. I was young and a single guy. I wasn't 18 years old yet. I was under, maybe it was 17 years, no, let me see. How old was I then? I was 17, I was almost 18. I was a young guy, a young kid, you know, and give me the responsibility of teaching instead of a married young man over there running. Give me the. I myself was a student in all these classes for many years because I went in that bungalow colony for many years. Now he asked me. But I didn't make of it. I said, you know, first of all, you know, how, you know, as an offer, get a lot of money too because they would pay well, you know. They didn't pay me any different because I was a kid. They just, you know, whatever they paid. They took me, you know, and so I wrote to the Rebbe. I asked the Rebbe, should I take this position? And unusually, most of the time, you know, not most, I shouldn't say most, there's no most there, but a lot of times the Rebbe would say, when people wrote him a question, go consult the yeshiva management, the dean or the administration of the yeshiva, ask them what you should do. That's what the Rebbe would quite pretty regularly answer the students. But in my case, the Rebbe says, go ahead and accept it and do it, you know. And okay, well, the Rebbe said, go ahead and do it, so I'm going to do it. And so what happened was, though, I had to go back to the yeshiva to get permission.
So you wrote back that fast that you got...
No, the Rebbe, I wrote, I sent in a note, and the Rebbe gave back.
Because you were there with your family.
I live. No, I wouldn't have been there, but that was in the before the summer started. So I wrote to the Rebbe. The Rebbe would pretty quickly when the Rebbe you would get an answer. The Rebbe wouldn't write you always a letter. A lot of the letters stopped. The Rebbe would just answer your note. Like if you say, "Should I accept this position?" The Rebbe would take out the word "should I," and he would say, "Accept the position." So that would be, you know, sort of very shorthand give you an answer or say and they say and then the Rebbe said, "What a blessing," or something. Well, I'll mention you on the tzir, and so there was short ways of the Rebbe giving these answers. And so I got the answer, yeah, I should do so, and but now I had to go to clear it with my administration, but I was still a student in the yeshiva. So I couldn't just take the job without telling them. So I have to go to them. Told them that I wrote to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says that we would never let you go, but the Rebbe says, go, of course. Nobody's going to say anything if the Rebbe says. The Rebbe said, go ahead. The Rebbe said so. So it was no question. So I went and I took the position. And it would actually turned out a very, very special time, because at that season, the Lubavitcher, the Rav, the rabbi of the community who used to do the ruling, I mentioned it was a cousin of mine also, he spent that summer at the Mongova colony. He was kind of lonely by himself. He was only, and I was a little, so we spent a lot of time together. I learned a lot of halacha. It was a very special time. But here you see, the Rebbe says, unusual, like the anhala of the yeshiva, though, the administration, they say, we don't accept that, because normally if a student comes to ask us, what does a yeshiva boy have to do instead of sitting and studying with all the other students, being in a bungalow colony, there's all the women there, with all the children, there's no structure, there's no real... But the Rebbe looked at things differently, you see. Just like, here, I reminded myself. Because Rebbe saw these things from a different perspective. Rebbe saw that from my soul and from my purposes, that was something that I needed to do. So, Baruch Hashem, I did that, and it worked out very, very well. For me, and like I said, they had the special opportunity to spend some very quality time with Rabbi Dvorkin, who was the rabbi at the time.